And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. So, hey, listen, before I go any further, I got to tell you, our folks at ZLA Solutions, they are just like epic good at what they do. So ZLA Solutions provides any number of different kinds of business end solutions. They can help you with your logistics, your warehousing, you know, doing things like quality control, sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. They're good at it. But their bread and butter, man, it's still staffing. Staffing, getting you the people you need for your job site. So whether you need onesies and twosies with, you know, special niche skills that are hard to find, or just a whole shift full of people, they can do it. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. They can get you blue collar, white collar, no collar, I always say. So check them out. ZLA Solutions. These are friends of mine. I know of what I speak, all right? ZLA Solutions. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Boomer, I don't think we have quite accentuated the home fries sound effect good enough. I mean, home fries.
We have it. There it is.
Nice. Makes me hungry listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Just sizzling up some home fries, throw them in the pan and cook them right up. So that's the section we do when we're just talking about things that are happening all over our very own state. We just had that conversation a moment ago with State Auditor Andrew Sorrell. And I mentioned in the middle of our conversation, because it was about ESG, environmental social governance. ESG is just, it's just wokeness gotten into our finances. It's ridiculous, really. It's not what it gets corporations outside of their charter and away from the idea of profitability and into the idea of you need to go out there and do good things. But we make soft drinks. Yeah, but you got to go do some good things. Okay, but yeah, we're here to you know, build houses. Yeah, but you got to do some good things. Well, building houses is what we do. Anyway, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, story here on 1819 News. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall testified before Congress just this week against ESG investing. Says he testified in front of the U.S. House Oversight and Accountability Committee on Wednesday, advocating against the use of environmental, social, and governance criteria in investment decisions. Here's his quote. He says, "Alabama law, like the laws of so many states, empowers me," the Attorney General, "empowers me to represent the state's interest in court and to enforce the state's consumer protection laws." He went on to say, "ESG poses unique challenges to Alabama's energy consumers as well as our many state-leading industries. But it's bigger than just that, Alabama. ESG is a clear and present danger to consumers and our democracy. An unelected cabal of global elites is using ESG to hijack our capitalist system, capture corporations, and threaten the hard-earned dollars of American workers." All right. By the way, in case you didn't know, Attorney General Steve Marshall is also the head of the Republican Attorney General's Association around the nation. So, yeah, and you know, folks like you and I, conservatives, we look at ESG and we call it a wokeness scorecard. That's what it is. It's a wokeness scorecard. How woke is your company? Okay, you get a higher score. You're not woke enough? Low score. And then what happens? Low scores? The woke of the world are told to avoid those companies because they don't do it right. They don't get out there and do the woke stuff. They're not out there putting, you know, transgenders on their beer cans and whatever else. Well, Attorney General Steve Marshall on the front lines testifying on behalf of us. Yeah, glad of it. More home fries when we get right back. I'll tell you what's happened with McConnell and Tuberville. Huh. Are they split? We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. And I know because I've seen other ones, the most beautiful state in the nation, that would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and way on up north of Huntsville from Tuscaloosa all the way back over to Gadsden. And I mean even parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, before I go any further, let me just tell you, the Elm Foundation, one of our advertisers, the Elm Foundation, that's ELM, it stands for Expect Little Miracles. They're a 501c3, a nonprofit group out of Huntsville, and they are doing some crazy cool stuff, just basically changing people's lives. And they are not like a government program where they throw money at a situation and hope it sticks. The Elm Foundation is actually walking through life with people who are on the streets, who need to get back into, you know, being productive. They need job skills. They need, you know, the ability to even build a resume for that matter. I mean, and the Elm Foundation, it provides them actual one-on-one accountability and walks them through a program and helps them to get back into life and recover their self-worth on top of their productivity. I'm just telling you, this is very cool. And what I also love, too, they're a 501c3. If you were to support their work, any dollar you give goes 100% into their programs because they have one benefactor who has decided to make sure that all their administrative costs are covered. So their staff, all their office, all that kind of stuff covered. Every dollar they raise after that goes into programs. So check them out. Their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side. I would appreciate that. All right, let me jump back into home fries. So you may have not heard, but our own Senator Tommy Tuberville is making waves, man. He is making waves because he is absolutely a pro-life senator, and I appreciate that. And he knows that he also represents an absolutely pro-life state. And he is, just like many of us, he is put out by the fact that in the wake of the Roe v. Wade, you know, being overturned by the Dobbs decision, that the U.S. military, because of the Biden administration, the U.S. military is going to be offering opportunities for abortion pay, basically. You're in the military? Well, we'll try to accommodate you to live in a state where abortions are still allowed. You're in the military? Well, we'll fly you and give you paid leave to go get it. We'll kill that baby in another state. It's ridiculous. Well, Tommy Tuberville is saying, you know what? If that's the way you're going to be, if you're going to try and force that kind of thing, even though we're a pro-life state and we have multiple bases, we got Maxwell Air Force Base, Fort Rucker, well, now Fort Novosel, Redstone Arsenal, Anderson Army Depot. So you're just going to say, sorry about your state laws. Here's what we're going to do. Nope. Then he's going to say, Tommy Tuberville is, you don't get to promote any generals or admirals. Well, he's got their attention. They're getting pissed. So right now, a story broke on the Hill yesterday that even Mitch McConnell is now saying he doesn't like this. That's okay. Tommy Tuberville's hanging on. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said Wednesday he does not support Senator Tommy Tuberville's blanket hold on more than 180 non-political military promotions, which Democrats say is keeping qualified people out of key roles. It said non-political, but it meant, non-political military promotions. I got it. Tuberville has held up the promotions of 184 general and flag officers for weeks to protest the Defense Department's abortion policies. Asked whether or not they can resolve the impasse, McConnell said, you'll have to ask Senator Tuberville about that. Seven former secretaries of defense have sent a letter to the Senate warning that the hold on promotions is harming our military readiness and it risks damaging U.S. national security. What a crock. What a chicken little response. Okay, let me get this straight. The military crashes and burns because the one star can't become a two star, or because the admiral can't take on the new command position, like there's nobody else that can do it. In the meantime, what the senator is saying is, hey, Department of Defense, you don't get to make law on your own. We are the legislature. The legislative branch of government is the one that decides things like what you just did. And you're violating, by the way, the sovereignty of my state's position on abortion, along with all the others. So you know what? All you generals that are waiting on your star, just hang on. All you flag officers that are waiting to command the fleet, just hang on, because you're going to get there eventually. It's just not going to go fast, because his hold is not permanent. His hold just does not allow the process to be speedy. And so there. But so what happens is, you can always imagine, whenever you become the senator or the congressman who's willing to step out there and be conservative, well, the liberal media is going to find a reason to pick. Okay. So a second story, AL.com. Tuberville on white nationalists in the military, he says, quote, I call them Americans. They have so tried to create something that wasn't there. So he did an interview with WBHM. It's a public radio. It's an NPR station in Birmingham. Well, mistake number one, he went on NPR. But actually, I take it back. Go there. But just understand, they're not going to construe things the way you want them to. And of course, they asked if he believed that white nationalists should be allowed to serve in the military. What a stupid question. Senator, do you believe that white nationalists should be allowed to serve in the military? Well, first of all, his response was, he says, they call them that. I call them Americans. Okay. They made hay out of that. He's trying to ignore the fact that white nationalists are in the military. He thinks it's okay for white nationalists to be in the military. And that's not what he's saying at all. His office pointed out, no. What he was saying was he was skeptical of the notion that there are white nationalists in the military. And he believes the men and women in uniform are patriots, say his office. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin seems to think otherwise, they say, subjecting them to extremism training as his very first act in office that cost us 4 million man hours. Yeah. So what he did say overall, he said, this is Tuberville. He said, we are losing in the military so fast, our readiness in terms of recruitment. And why? I'll tell you why. Because the Democrats are attacking our military, saying we need to get out of the white extremists, the white nationalists, people that don't believe in our agenda, Joe Biden's agenda. They're destroying it. This year, we will not reach any recruiting goals, he pointed out. So if we want to talk about looking weak, that's where we're going to look weak. We cannot start putting rules in there for one type, one group, and make different factions in the military. It's the most important institution in the U.S., our allies, and it's a strong, hard-nosed killing machine. We call it our military. So basically what he's saying is, stop pretending that white nationalists control the flow in the military. They don't. But speaking of politics in the military, as we cook up a batch of home fries, I just gave you stories there about what your attorney general is saying in D.C. and what your U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is saying about several things. But here's something else. Space Command. Oh, yeah, Space Command. So we still don't know. This is the most recent story. It came off of Space Policy Online, dated 4 days ago. Space Policy Online, Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall was peppered with questions from two congressional committees about when a decision will be made to locate the headquarters of U.S. Space Command, and he said he has no news to share. He said the issue has been pitting Colorado versus Alabama, and it's been on hold for over 2 years. 2 years. It was already approved. It's the appeal process we're talking about. One powerful House member from Alabama said, we are beyond the point of frustration. In fact, who that was Mike Rogers, Congressman Mike Rogers, who is now also chairman of House Armed Services. Here's his quote. He says, we are beyond frustration with the continued delay in announcing the final decision of SpaceCom basing. 27 months ago, he says, the Air Force made the right decision to go with Huntsville. 12 months ago, the Government Accounting Office and the Department of Defense Inspector General affirmed that decision. There's only one state still protesting, and that state came in fifth in the competition. And he points out the political games must end. Your continued hand-wringing is delaying SpaceCom's full operational capacity, undermining our ability to defend the nation. You need to end the charade and make the announcement. That's the chair of House Armed Services. Unfortunately, we're dealing with the Biden administration. All right, one more home fry fresh out the pan before we go to the break. You may be of the mind that Huntsville is the biggest city now in the state of Alabama, which would be true. You may be of the mind that very, very, very close is Birmingham-Montgomery, only separated by like 112 people or something like that. Birmingham barely keeps number two on the list of the biggest cities. Montgomery next and then Mobile. Except, big news. This is big doings. I was talking to somebody down there in Mobile who is in the know. 1819 News had this story dated 2 days ago. The Mobile City Council. And this, by the way, this was a fight. There are those that don't want to have it and those that do. But they're talking about annexing a large portion of West Mobile. If you're not familiar with the area, West Mobile is part of the growth corridor for Mobile. Mayor Sandy Stimson recommended a plan that would allow the city population to grow up to 213,000 if the annexation is approved by the voters, and it would become the second largest city in Alabama. That's gonna carry some weight. It's not like Mobile is not already significant as it is. I mean, with a major warm water port, the shipbuilding industry, all the other industries that are down there, and just a solid, large-based population. But, man, if this annexation is approved, and I'm not going to be surprised if it isn't. It's going to be approved, I bet. The fact that they got it to the city council first, that's already the fight. And now I think there's a bunch of folks out there that would love to have city services. And so we'll see what happens. Anyway, Mobile City Council, there's some home fries for you, approves an annexation that could make Mobile the second largest city in the entire state of Alabama. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come back, maybe tie up one or two home fries, chat for a bit, and head to the house. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, by the way, you hear the ads playing during the break like every other radio station, but just know this. Right Side Radio is a separate business. We are not owned by any of the stations that we're on. And part of the way we survive as a business is advertising. So we sell our own advertising. You can't call the station and advertise with us. You need to call us. So the way to do that is just go to our website, rightsideradio.org. There's a place on there that says advertising, and you send us a message through that. We respond to it real quick. So if you feel like our show stands for the things that you stand for, and you want to advertise your business somewhere that reaches upwards of 30,000 people a week, well, that's us. And we would love to have you on the team. Send us a message, rightsideradio.org. We'll get in touch with you ASAP, and we'd love to have you on the team. Boomer, you got that home fries sound effect? Just one more time. Cook me up some home fries. Yeah, you can smell them. All right, so last one I got here, and you might want to chime in on this, sports guy. Cool. So there were a number of bills, and I will say this is a little, this bugs me, and maybe it was planned, but the same guy who pushed off the school choice bill and said, yeah, we're going to have a public hearing. Everybody come on down. And, oh, by the way, I'm not going to let you vote on it. And then send it to another committee.
Yeah.
That same guy, Senator Donnie Chestine from down yonder in Coffee County in Geneva, Alabama. He had a public hearing on four bills, all carried by Senator Chris Elliott, who's been on the show multiple times from Baldwin County. And these were all Alabama High School Athletic Association bills.
Okay.
They were designed to straighten out some problems. One of those, and by the way, what I'm saying is Donnie Chestine, Senator Chestine, had the public hearing and then said, we're not going to be voting on any of these. I don't understand. I don't know.
Is it like a tactic?
Yes, it is a tactic.
Okay.
Now, this could have been prearranged. Maybe there's an agreement reached behind the scenes because these bills, according to what Chris Elliott is saying, were designed to also get the attention of the High School Athletic Association, which can change its own rules. In fact, he said, I don't want the legislature to micromanage high school athletics. I get that. But, like, here's some of the bills. This is, to me, some of this makes sense. Senate Bill 249, all it said was basically the High School Athletic Association has to determine a student's eligibility within 21 days of being requested. They can't leave it stringing out and miss a whole season.
Oh, absolutely. That athlete needs to get it going if they're allowed to.
Yeah. And if they make a determination in favor of the student letting him play, they can't change that during the season. That's what the bill says.
Yeah.
I mean, you get in there, you become a key player, and next thing you know, you're halfway through the season. Hey, you can't play anymore. What? So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's a good one.
I do, too.
All right, here's another one. Senate Bill 253. It would have basically said the High School Athletic Association within the K-12 public school arena, it cannot tell a coach that they can't coach outside of the school sports season or non-school, like you know, summer leagues or summer camps.
You know, that's
camps.
Huge as a coach myself, being able to go outside of my normal team during off-season and go coach elsewhere is huge, because that's extra income that I could be making. And I know some coaches that have not been allowed to do that, and it's hurt them. And all they wanted to do is, one, coach, and then, two, make a little extra money. And that's an income for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely an income, but it also, I mean, it enhances their own coaching skills.
Oh, absolutely. And it helps the athletes.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know why that would be controversial.
Yeah.
But, all right, here's another one. Senate Bill 251. Would have said that local boards of education for public schools cannot restrict eligibility for a student or a coach because they participated in a non-school athletic program.
That's a thing?
It's apparently.
I guess so.
Why is that racy? I mean, how many times you played travel ball?
Oh, I know. I'm sorry, sir. You are a young buck. You just got off the travel ball team, so you can't play.
Yeah. So you're ineligible for the school program where you could have earned a scholarship later because we found out you played travel ball.
Right.
Maybe we're oversimplifying it, but I don't know why it's controversial either.
Right.
Okay, here's the last one. K-12 public schools, it would require K-12 public schools to pay any fines or fees or penalties that would have been charged to a student if the student was found to be ineligible but was not told their ineligibility by the school. In other words, the school's kind of in charge of the student.
Mm-hmm.
If the kid gets assessed a penalty or a fine, the school has to pay for it. In other words, schools, take care of business, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm betting the teachers union got mad about that one, too.
I'm sure they did. You really thought, what?
Oh, man. It's been a good show.
It has.
Text lines got active. So Allie from Athens says, quit already with the home fries. You're making a slobber.
Making a slobber.
And that's not polite, she says. John from Huntsville says, Boomer, you guys need a Right Side Radio music CD, so I took it upon myself to come up with original song titles. And he's got a list of them there. That
That's hilarious.
Like Right Side Superheroes, Phil the Power Drill, McQueen the Electric Machine. I don't know what all's going on here. Boomer the Boomerang. All right, John, you got too much time on your hands, brother.
I like it.
Where was that one I saw? Kathy from Madison texted in. She had first texted in. She was mad about ESG, said it's important for Alabama to finally stand for something. And then I talked about Tuberville, and she came right back and go, okay, spoke too soon. Glad Tuberville's taking a stand. There you go.
Okay.
That's why we do home fries.
That's why.
That's exactly right. So you know what's happening. Tim from Mount Hebron says woke is such a bad word. I prefer, I can't read his word out.
Nope.
Tim, I can't read your word, bro.
Hit the red button.
Yeah,
we
can't do that. By the way, the other day we did Ted Nugent.
Oh, I was ready to hit that red button.
Boomer had his hand over that red button, like floating over it, waiting. And he did not.
I think they can actually see it on the camera. They can see my red button. It's right here.
In fact, during Ted Nugent, your camera wasn't on you, probably, was it?
No.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious. See your hand
see
sitting
my,
over
my
the
hand
button.
Just being ready for it. I was just sitting right here.
Waiting to dump about 8 seconds of airtime because. But he didn't.
No,
he did great. Yeah, if you want to hear that, by the way, you can go to rightsideradio.org or any podcasting, because we always put the show up afterwards. And so I did see, by the way, Boomer, we are well over 142,000.
Oh, yes. Now. We're climbing up there.
And by the way, your Right Life podcast is taking off.
It's booming as well.
You got thousands attached to it now.
Yes.
I'm digging it.
It's awesome.
All right, folks. What a great day. We'll be back here tomorrow. I already know we got a great show late on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and I will be here tomorrow at 2 for Friday. We'll see you then. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.